Cat Mayo Hour.
Welcome to the Pat Mayo Hour, week 3, DraftKings picks and preview by position. Davis Maddock, as always, is going to be on. We'll see if he gets the millionaire bump, because last week, Al Zeidenfeld sat down with Davis and I to chat about the pricing, and then boom, he wins. The millionaire maker, million-dollar winner, Al Zeidenfeld. Congratulations, and I hope people out there used his picks too, because I did, and I won a bunch of money as well. So hopefully it translated, and he passed it forward. He just didn't hog all the $1 million to himself. So Davis is here. And as a special guest, you may know him as Draft Cheat, but he is Peter Christensen of FanVice.com.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on. Honored to be here and hoping for that that millionaire maker bump. I could use $1 million. So congratulations to Smizzle, and hopefully it's me this week.
Yeah, well, again, thanks for being here. Davis, are you scared that Cheat's just going to like ram it everything down your throat here?
I have never done a podcast with Peter before. Peter is one of my least favorite people that is just in my life all the time. We rail against each other. Like, legit looking forward to this for like a 24-hour period once you told me he was going to be on the show.
Well, it sounds like we need to get this started then. Running backs at the top of the board. David Johnson against the Bills is 7,700. Then D'Angelo at 75. C.J. Anderson at 73, followed by Gurley Forte in the $7,000 range. Then into the 6,900 and below, we have Elliott A.P., who's out. LeSean McCoy, DeMarco Murray, Eddie Lacy, Melvin Gordon at 8. When I just did a quick scan of this, if I was going to save some money to begin my teams, especially cash teams, I see Melvin Gordon out there at a very good price and a very good matchup. I know that they signed Dexter McCluster, but I don't know how involved he's going to be in the game plan this week. I know he has the relationship with Ken Wisenhunt, and that could eat into a few snaps. But for the moment, it looks like this is Melvin Gordon's team and what looks like the primo matchup of the week. I know he's going to be chalk, but I really don't care. Should we be using Melvin Gordon in most cash lineups and even GPP lineups, Davis?
Oh, this might be a hot take, but I think I like Charles Sims a little bit more.
Ooh.
For the $1,000 or $900 discount. Melvin Gordon, I mean, he obviously has the nut matchup. He set a career high both in yards and carries last week with Woodhead out. And in no way would I dispute that he is like an elite play this week. I think that he is. I think that you should probably have exposure to him in tournaments, definitely. But the way I'm constructing my DraftKings lineups, it makes a little bit more sense to get those savings so I don't have to go all the way to the bottom at wide receiver. And I see a pretty clear path for Sims kind of doing the TJ Yeldon from week one thing, whereas I don't think he'll be super efficient on a per touch basis, but I think he's going to have the biggest role of any of these injury replacement guys, I think.
Pete, how do you feel about Gordon? And do you worry that this Dick Cutter talk about Jaquizz Rodgers is a real thing? Because I'm not buying it.
No, not really. I mean, I think Melvin Gordon is the play at running back if you're looking to save a little bit of cash. In that mid-tier, 5,800, I think he's going to get, 75-80% of the work for the Chargers with Danny Woodhead out, of course, against the Colts defense that, you can do anything you want against. And we've seen San Diego's offense look pretty efficient through 2 weeks. So, Gordon kind of has a, people don't like to roster him. I think we'll see him be a little bit lower owned even than he should be just because of how much of a bust he was last year. But looking a lot better this year, breaking tackles. I mean, even things like his yards per carry numbers and tackles avoided look pretty good. And, he looks like the runner he was in college, which was a pretty solid running back. So Melvin Gordon, the guy for me. Charles Sims, I don't mind that call, but just more question marks. And it just a $700 savings on DraftKings. I think I'd rather spend a little bit more for what I feel is a much safer matchup.
Well, Davis, everything you said about Charles Sims, couldn't that be somewhat translated onto Theo Riddick? Abdullah out for at least 8 weeks probably this season. There's a lot of buzz about Dwayne Washington going on right now, but I'm not quite sure what his role is going to be. It looks like he's going to have all the goal line work, which is a nice plus, but Riddick in this matchup against the Packers, you could probably pencil him in for 5-6 catches here, and if he does start to see, let's say, between 5 and 9 or 10 carries between the tackles, and you get that touch count up around 15, 16, 17, would it be worth taking him, or would it be worth taking Dwayne the Rock Washington as a decent savings here, or are those just two guys to avoid?
No, Riddick is a play. He's not as, he's definitely not as lit as he was week one. But if they're the same price between Riddick and Sims, I'll take Sims because I have a higher overall offensive involvement projection for Sims than I do for Riddick.
Pete, when we keep dropping down here, there's like Riddick, Sims, Stewart, who's obviously out again, Isaiah Crowell at 4,700, Carlos Hyde, Gio Bernard, Duke Johnson, Matt Jones. I want to stop at Jay Ajayi at $4,000. I don't really like Ajayi, but I really do like this matchup. And when we look at the biggest favorites of the week, the Dolphins are that. The game script sets up for a lot of running in this game. I know there's rumblings about Foster coming back, but I don't see him having any sort of role this week, especially against the Browns. Is this a situation where Ajayi could pile up like 20 touches here if he can just be all right for the first 10 minutes and leave Kenyon Drake on the bench?
Yeah, I think so. I really like this Miami offense in general, and you've got to project Jay Ajayi to potentially be a pretty big part of it. I don't know, you know, with his role somewhat in question, if he'd be a cash game play necessarily for me. But listen, Miami coming off two tough games in Seattle and in New England. Now they return home to face a Browns offense. You got to think that they're going to run a huge number of plays as the Browns are unable to sustain drives at all. And, you know, Miami coming off two losses, I think this is a situation where they're going to want to get right. And I think we'll see, you know, a big offensive output from the Dolphins, from a team that people might overlook. So I like that Ajayi call, you know, down at this bottom tier of running back, a lot of question marks in terms of the amount of workload these guys are going to get. I think Jay Ajayi certainly projects for, you know, among the most work of all these guys.
Of the guys that kind of are new starters or in timeshares this week, you have like Fozzie Whitaker and Cameron Artis Payne. You have Jerick McKinnon, Matt Asiata. I know they just signed Ronnie Hillman, but I'm not too concerned about him this week. I mean, even Dwayne Washington down there as well. I mean, we know Sims is probably going to be the guy. It looks like Riddick's going to be lead chair at least for a bit in Detroit. But are there any of these guys that you could have picked up in your season-long waiver wire that are sub $4,000 on DraftKings that you would go with?
McKinnon in tournaments is the only one, and I don't even think he's a cash play. And the call in tournaments is just like, well, he can have 12 carries for 94 yards and two touchdowns because he's talented enough to break long ones.
Pete?
Yeah, I mean, I know people don't like to spend up at running back necessarily, but the way the NFL is going right now, there's a few backs, you know, that you can guarantee basically 20 plus touches for that I think are worth paying for. Melvin Gordon, we touched on him. Charles Sims, we project for a bigger role. And then, you know, all the way up the top, D'Angelo Williams just smashing it every week, every time Le'Veon Bell's out in that offense, that it just comes to the point where I don't want to take the risks on these sub 4K running backs that might only see, you know, seven or eight touches when I can kind of guarantee, you know, 25 from a D'Angelo Williams type. So not too interested in this lower tier for me.
When I did this scan of the wide receivers, I actually found a bunch of values I really like that I don't mind rolling out in cash games if that's where I'm going to save money. So, Davis, if we go to the top, whether it be cash or GPP, is D'Angelo Williams your favorite too? Or would you go on to, like, David Johnson, who I know you love at 7,700, but it was dealing with, he's in the Bruce Arians doghouse. I don't think it's going to really affect him too much, but will that keep, like, ownership off of him at least?
I would rather jump off of a speedboat than fade D'Angelo Williams this week. He's the top play. He leads all running backs in expected fantasy points. He leads all offensive players in market share of total offense. Like, I don't see any way around not taking D'Angelo Williams in cash on either site.
What about in GPP?
What would his price have to be, Davis? Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. What would his price have to be for you to fade him?
On DraftKings, he'd have to be priced like the wide receivers. He'd have to be like the same price as, you know, Odell for me to not take him.
Pete, in that lower range of the upper echelon guys, whether we're talking about Anderson, Gurley, Elliott, Forte, McCoy, DeMarco Murray, like, I really like DeMarco Murray in this matchup, and he's only $6,300. He's proving to be one of the safer backs on the board just through his work in the passing game. 14 targets in 2 weeks, and he's getting the goal line touches over Derrick Henry. Is he someone you would trust in cash, or would you just run him out in tournaments knowing that people are either going to pay down for all the savings you can get at the position or pay up for that safety, leaving guys like LeSean McCoy and DeMarco Murray vastly under-owned in these big events?
Yeah, I like DeMarco Murray a lot. I think the Titans are going to have a good game here against an Oakland defense who
sucks.
A lot of people projected to.
It sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really bad. I mean, people projected that it would improve, but we've seen it just struggle in all aspects. Murray, obviously a key cog in that Titans offense. I think they like that short passing game between him and Mariota. And, you know, we've seen what Murray can do. He looks good early on in this season. So I like that call on Murray. I don't think people are going to really look toward him in that mid-tier for running back.
Davis, besides D'Angelo, who do you think the chalk's going to be at the top?
I think that's it. I think that he's going to be super piled on. I think people are not going to take DJ, which I actually think is a mistake. I think that he should be a tournament target because all that ownership is going to concentrate on Williams. DJ did not have a great week last week. There's been some coach speak. Arian said that he was disappointed with the mistakes that DJ was making. But, I mean, the Bills, like, they're they could end up picking top three in the draft this year. And I also really, really like Elliott. The Cowboys, the terrible Dallas Cowboys, are 7-point home favorites against a Bears team that just lost two of their starting front seven and are going to be starting Brian Hoyer. So those two guys specifically I like targeting for tournaments. And I think Elliott is cash viable on DraftKings for $6,900.
I think I would actually just take the savings. If I was going to kind of double pay up at running back, I think I would go Gordon and Murray as my cash game backs. But if I can save enough money at the other positions, I'd be very willing to go D'Angelo Williams. Pete, tournament play, D'Angelo Williams. Is the ownership going to be too high? And you end up having to fade him? Would you go overweight on him? Like, what's the play here? Is it just he's going to be so good that you have to have him and figure out the rest of your team elsewhere?
Yeah, D'Angelo Williams, you know, the only player that I've had 100% exposure to across all lineups through 2 weeks in NFL. And listen, he's going to almost surely see over 30 touches again. So, you know, looks like 32 touches in week one and 36 touches in week two. We're going to see that again with Le'Veon Bell coming back. They're not afraid to run him out there every play. I'm not scared of this Philadelphia run defense by any means. So I'm willing to pay up for Williams and even eat that GPP chalk. I mean, he wasn't too heavily owned last week. I think we'll see more ownership on him this week. But even so, I really think the only way he fails in this matchup is due to injury. So, you know, I'm willing to ride with the field on that one.
Is Todd Gurley a contrarian trap against the Bucks?
Yes, because he sucks and the Rams suck. The Rams are so freaking bad, dude.
I'm right with you, Davis. And don't you think? I mean, this Tampa Bay defense looks like maybe the number one funnel defense in all of the NFL.
Two straight years.
Fantastic against the run. Can't stop the pass. Like, I know the Rams don't want to throw the ball, and they can't throw the ball either, but I just don't see how the Rams are going to move the ball here. Gurley, like, what would his price have to be on DraftKings for you to consider him in cash games in week three?
If he was the same price as Charles Sims, I would take him over Sims.
Yeah, I just still don't think I would. Like, I just don't have any faith in him in this matchup in particular.
This middle range of running backs like Latavius Murray, Spencer Ware, TJ Yeldon, Jamal Charles is in there as well, Rawls, Langford, Rashad Jennings, Christine Michael, Frank Gore. Do any of those guys interest you? Because if Jamal Charles is out again, people are working under the impression that Spencer Ware was just god-awful last week, which he wasn't. He had over 100 total yards. That I think this could be a spot where you get him at like 5% ownership in a matchup against the Jets where if he can get involved in the passing game again, the Jets are awful against the pass so far this year.
I'm interested in Michael. If Rawls doesn't play or if Rawls is limited, we got the Pete Carroll coach speak. You know, he looks like he's shot out of a cannon. He's got through two games, he's got 21 carries for 125 yards. I don't know. The Seahawks, they'll figure it out. Like they always do this. They always look terrible to start the year, and they always 100% look terrible against the Rams. But for tournaments, I'm a little interested in Michael.
Pete?
Nah, not so much. I kind of lean with you there, Pat. One guy I'm looking at, Matt Forte, just a workhorse back, 27 touches in week one and 32 in week two. I think people are kind of overlooking him in a matchup on the road against Kansas City. He has had extra rest after that Thursday game, and the Chiefs defense right now, not one that I'm shying away from at all. What are you guys' thoughts on Forte up near the top 7K? I kind of have a little bit of intrigue there.
Last two guys I want to mention here before we move on to wide receivers, Gio Bernard is 4,300 and Shane Vereen is 3,700. I know the matchup for Gio Bernard is not good, but he hit double digit in catches last week. I could see a similar situation happening against the Broncos defense where they're just going to be just the Bengals offense is going to be under duress all game. Andy Dalton's dealing with a bum ankle. I could see a lot of short dump offs. I mean, even Hill ended up with 5 catches last week. So I could see Geo outperforming that price just based on catches alone. And with Vereen, like, Rashad Jennings is banged up. Orleans Darkwa's, you know, no treat. And it looks like Shane Vereen is starting to get, like, goal line touches if no one else is around. With his work in the receiving game, he's only $3,700. And it's against the Redskins. Like, that price seems awfully fair for a guy that could luck into 20 touches this week.
Yeah, I don't know. My group of RBs this week is pretty narrow, I think. I think a lot of these guys we can give lip service to, but I think the guys I want, there's like maybe 5 of them.
Yeah, I like that matchup for Vereen. We see the Giants running a ton of no huddle. So when he gets on the field, you know, if they get that offense going, get moving down the field, he can see a number of targets and carries. And even if he's on the field as they enter the red zone, he'll get that work in the red zone, especially with, you mentioned, Rashad Jennings baked up. So $3,700 for Shane Vereen, I think that's a nice bargain. No one's going to play him. And, you know, he certainly has upside in this matchup.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take a shot in a few tournaments, depending on how many lineups I end up playing. Like, if I end up, you know, constructing like 25, I'll throw Vereen on like 4 or 5 and just see if it works out this week. Because, like you mentioned, just even having him in, you know, 25% of lineups is going to be massively overweight, because I don't think everyone's going to want to play like the new starters. Like, oh, give me Fozzie Whitaker. Let me throw him in there. I'd just much rather play Shane Vereen if I was going to go scumming down in that sub $4,000 range. But I think Ajayi is my favorite play of the 4,000 and under guys. And I think that, you know, he's not safe, but I do think that there is a path for him to produce a very big game. Before we get to receivers, I need to let you know about Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, which proudly supports the Pat Mayo Hour. Rocket Mortgage brings the mortgage approval process into the 21st century. Fast, powerful, and completely online, Rocket Mortgage has taken all the complicated, time-consuming parts of applying for a mortgage out of the equation. Do you hate searching through stacks of old files and paperwork? Well, with Rocket Mortgage, you can easily share your bank statements and pay stubs at the touch of a button, helping you get approved in minutes for a custom mortgage solution that's been tailored to your financial situation. And even better, with Rocket Mortgage, you can do all this on your phone or tablet. It's a quick online process you can manage from the convenience of your couch. So, if you're looking to refinance your mortgage or buy a home, check out Rocket Mortgage today at quickenloans.com/mayo. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Now, back to the show. Wide receivers to the top. Antonio Brown, $9,600. Odell Beckham, $91. Dez, $84. AJ Green, $81. Jeffrey, $8,000. Cooper, $77. Allen Robinson, $75. Jordy Nelson, $74. Randall Cobb, $73. And Brandon Marshall, $73. Followed by Kelvin Benjamin. The Benjamin brothers coming through for Al last week. I don't necessarily know if Kelvin Benjamin's going to produce against the Vikings. They've held 6 straight opponents to under 17 points. I know he put up numbers against Denver, but yeah, you know, we'll see what happens. It's probably going to be a fade for me this week. If you're going to pay up at the position, Pete, where are you going?
Am I crazy to not really love the matchups for most of these big wide receivers?
I totally agree. I skipped this tier almost entirely.
I think if you can afford Antonio Brown, he's going to torch Philly.
He just torches everyone, though.
He didn't last week.
That's what he does. Oh, let's not get started. I had him in cash last week. It's just so brutal.
Davis.
But coming off the bad week, don't you think that he might end up being underowned? I mean, at least to a level where Antonio Brown is underowned?
Yeah. I mean, that's just how people are. Like, you hear me. Like, I like to think I'm smart about football, and I'm bad at Antonio Brown for, like, completely killing me last week.
Is there any,
he'll definitely be like under 25%.
Like, I don't like AJ Green in the matchup against Denver. I don't like Alshon Jeffrey up against the Dallas Cowboys. They've done a pretty good job so far of limiting wide receiver ones. And for whatever reason, it seems like whoever's calling the plays for the Bears just doesn't want to throw to Alshon Jeffrey outside of like a 10-minute stretch in the first half. Like, I bet the guy to go over 87.5 yards on Monday night, and, you know, he was the 90% of the way there after 10 minutes, and he didn't get there until the fourth quarter. Like, why aren't they using him? Because I don't think that the drop-off from Cutler to Hoyer is all that big of a deal with the way that Cutler was playing, so that's not what I'm worried about. It's the fact that he's getting 6 targets a game. Like, Pete, does that concern you?
Yeah, I think so, especially against the Cowboys team that's still going to play really slow, still wants to run the ball, control the clock. We see teams regularly unable to run, you know, a large number of play against the Cowboys. So I think Jeffrey is going to need that volume. I don't think he and Hoyer are going to be super efficient in this matchup. And, you know, really hard to project Jeffrey for 10 targets when, you know, we don't know how many plays the Bears are going to be able to run. So I like that call with Jeffrey. I'm with you. I don't think the downgrade, the supposed downgrade from Cutler to Hoyer is a big deal. We've seen Hoyer, you know, kind of lock on to his wide receiver ones throughout the years. So it's just the volume there against the Cowboys that I'm worried about.
Davis, Moncrief is out. The matchup against the Chargers is actually pretty good. Even with Verrett on the field, they do give up a lot of points through the air. So you have T.Y. Hilton and you have Philip Dorsett. I think a lot of people are going to go and move on to Philip Dorsett because of the price, but T.Y. Hilton might actually be the better play here. I was reading some Mike Clay, and he was kind of pointed out that Verrett is probably more likely to shut down Dorsett than he would be T.Y. Hilton, and I don't think that people may realize that.
So Hilton goes in the slot a lot, which Verrett does not do. And I think that Philip Dorsett, skill-wise, is not equipped to beat Verrett at all. But the replacement wide receivers for Dante Moncrief are Quan Bray and Chester Rogers.
Quan!
And we know one thing about the Colts, and that's they are completely egregious and that they're going to be trailing in pretty much every game that they play, and that Luck is probably going to come close to 35 to 40 passing attempts just as a median. So I think that Dorsett for 4,400 is still a cash play, even if he plays 50% of his snaps against Verrett. I think Hilton is a cash play at 6,800, assuming that he avoids Verrett in the slot a lot. And I think that the Luck Dorsett Hilton combo is playable in tournaments, just because no offense other than the Washington offense with Pete's doppelganger Kirk Cousins is going to generate this type of passing volume.
You like that, Pete?
I don't like it this year. He looks terrible through 2 weeks.
I'm not going to go with Philip Dorsett in cash. Like, at $4,400, I get the savings are there, but there's guys in that range that I just like better. Like, Stephon Diggs is still only $5,100. I don't care that he's playing Carolina. That's a really good price. Travis Benjamin is $5,200. I just feel more comfortable with that. And Tajae Sharpe is only $4,700 against Oakland. They've given up 808 passing yards through two games. They have no one to stop him. He's getting over 25% of the target share, and he had a bad week last week, so people are like, oh, Tajae Sharpe sucks now. Mariota sucks. They weren't able to beat up on the Lions. This seems like a primo spot to just roll out Tajae Sharpe at a really good price in cash and GPPs. Pete, agree or disagree?
Yeah, I'm with you on Tajae Sharpe. I mean, clearly the number one wide receiver for the Titans, and I think we'll see him continue to get, you know, 7 to 10 targets most weeks. So I don't mind going back to that. Well, you know, going back to the Colts for just a moment, they have the second highest team total on the board. And when you add up the salaries of their skill position players, now that Moncrief is out, like, you can roster like all of their main cogs for just such a low cost that, I mean, I think it would be a bad mistake to completely fade the Colts. I don't see how these guys really fail in the Chargers matchup. So I'm on board that Hilton train, that Dorsett train, and, you know, maybe even Frank Gore.
Take it back.
I won't. I stand by it.
Well, what about if this is the case and that's how it's going to break down, and you mentioned the lack of depth they have at receiver, Davis, does that mean like Dwayne Allen or maybe even Jack Doyle become viable? Because Doyle's been on the field a lot this season, and yeah, if you were going to make like sort of a pivot move and still do a Colt stack, would he be the guy to take?
Yeah, Doyle definitely for tournaments, but I think Dwayne Allen gets a huge bump here. Like, I'm like expecting like, you know, 18 to 22% market share of targets over this time frame that Dante Moncrief is out, which is pretty big for a tight end. And I mean, that's currently not being priced in for him at all. And the Chargers linebackers suck. They're super slow. So this is a good matchup for Allen for sure.
Pete, there are two guys in this like $6,000 range that I really like. Jeremy Maclin is number one at $6,000. He had a bad week last week, but finished second in targets for the week. And as we've seen, the Jets give up some big plays. I don't know if Alex Smith can take advantage of that, but four touchdowns of over 50 yards so far this season is not very good. And Maclin seems like the guy who could be able to take advantage of that. If not him, it's probably going to be Kelsey. And the other one's Golden Tate. I wouldn't play him in cash at 5,900, but in tournaments against the Packers, he had 11 targets last week. He only had two catches, but it just seems like in year-long fantasy, every question that I've got this week has been, should I drop Golden Tate? Why does Golden Tate suck so much? And when I start hearing that, I start thinking, man, no one's going to own this guy in DFS. At $5,900, it's a bit expensive, but in a game where you expect them to be throwing against the Packers, doesn't it seem like there's upside to be had there?
Absolutely. I love this Detroit passing offense, especially in this matchup, you know, against the Packers. They lost, obviously lost Amir Abdullah. We're going to see them go through the air, which they prefer to do anyway. And the Packers, you know, in addition to that, have been really stout against the run so far, while not faring, you know, quite as well against the pass we saw against the Vikings on Sunday night. You know, the Vikings couldn't get anything going on the ground, even when Adrian Peterson was healthy. And obviously, you know, Stephon Diggs shredded them through the air. So I like Tate. I think, you know, you can go up $300 to Marvin Jones, who does look like the number one receiver in that offense. For me, kind of taking that Calvin Johnson role, he is getting the deep targets. And, you know, I don't mind either guy. I think we'll see Matt Stafford continue to perform well. And, you know who the ball is going to go to, Jones, Tate, and Theo Riddick out of the backfield.
Davis, there's this range with, like, Jordan Matthews, Mike Evans, Larry Fitzgerald, Eric Decker, your buddy. It seems like a pretty decent range and one that's probably going to go way under-owned. Do I just take Mike Evans every week because he's going to get 17 targets?
I mean, Evans, pretty elite play here. I mean, Decker against the Chiefs. Like, Marcus Peters, I don't know what happened to this dude, but he looks lost. He just, like, gambles for an interception every time he goes back in coverage. So I really like – and Decker has, like, this long history of just completely destroying the Chiefs. He once had a 4-touchdown game against them. On the other side of that game, though, Macklin for 6K.
Oh, yeah.
15 targets last week against Houston. I don't know. You just got to sign yourself up for that.
I didn't get your opinion on Diggs at 51. Are you in or out, or do you think that he'll just be overowned because he had such a good week?
So Stephon Diggs has 31% of the Minnesota passing offense and 54% of his team's passing yards. I don't care if Trent Dilfer, like the current version of Trent Dilfer, is his quarterback. a guy with that sort of market share, 5,100 on DraftKings, is like, you know, just sort of a lock. I think you can fade him in tournaments because I think last week we saw, you know, a top 3 percentile outcome for him. But I mean, Diggs is like a 7K player on DraftKings and he's 5,100 this week.
I think the trap that I'm falling into, and you mentioned that you can pay down and you want to pay down at running back and save some money, but in cash games, like, I think I would be comfortable going Macklin at 6, Diggs at 51, and Sharp at 47. And if I do that, I don't need to really pay down at running back and I can pay up for the safe guys. Does that make any sense?
No, it does.
Yeah, no, I mean, not to cut you off there, Davis. I think that makes a lot of sense. You're getting all these targets, the number one options in the passing game, Macklin, you know, Stephon Diggs, you know, Bradford's first start and Diggs perform like that. He's going to keep going back there, and I'm not super worried about this matchup, you know, with the Panthers. And Tajae Sharpe, as you mentioned, Pat, you know, he's the number one guy in the Titans offense, and anytime you can secure a number one receiver in a solid matchup at, you know, a mid to low tier price, like, that's very appealing to me.
I have a contrarian stack that I'm going to roll out this week because I did the luck stack last week with the Colts and I came last in every tournament that I entered that one in. But the one that I'm going off the board with a little bit this week, I think that this could be a Seahawks rebound week. And maybe I'm just foolish and maybe Russell Wilson is not up to snuff. But I think they can pass all over the 49ers. So like Wilson, Lockett, Baldwin, I think those guys are all viable plays. But if you just wanted to play one by themselves, I think Baldwin, you could see around like 1% ownership in that mid $6,000 range, and I think that he has significant upside. The MRIs came back, his back is fine, his knee is fine, he's gonna play. And in this matchup, I feel like Baldwin can dominate here, and he might be a nice pivot off of these guys. Do you have any faith in the Seahawks offense, Davis?
I mean, I think Baldwin is still, even like when they've been kind of gross, like he was super involved week one, you know, 11 targets in a game that they mostly looked terrible. And I just honestly, I think anytime the Rams and the Seahawks play, you just throw out those results. Like those games just have no rhyme or reason. That might be one of the four games the Rams win this year. But we skipped right past Jarvis Landry.
I'm out on Jarvis this week.
Yeah, I hate Jarvis Landry, the real football player, but I don't know if I can get off him against the Browns.
All right, I will make a case against Jarvis Landry this week. One, the touchdown upside is never there because the guy doesn't really score touchdowns.
Hardcore agree.
And this week against the Browns, rarely do you see Miami be such a big favorite. And if you buy into that with Cody Kessler starting and the Dolphins can get up early, there is a map for Jarvis Landry. I think he has a good floor, but when you look at him, I think like 5 for 50, maybe even even like 8 for 71, which is a fine game. But I think that could be his upside this week because they might just say, you know what, we're running the ball. And Devontae Parker looked good last week. And if they're going to take some shots on scoring plays, I think I'd rather just roll him out there. I don't want to roll either one of them out, but I just think that Ajayi or Drake or just the running game in general is the way that you want to attack that Miami game. I think it's too expensive for Jarvis Landry. Pete, do you want to cast the tying vote here?
Yeah, I kind of with you, Pat. I mean,
oh no,
Davis.
Jarvis Landry's a garbage time hero, right? He's
he's just a garbage player.
Fair, but like he's not going to rack up those fourth quarter yards that we see him get so often when Miami's trailing. And without those, you know, I just worry a little bit about the output that he's going to have. 6,600, a little bit too much for me. I think I like the other guys, you know, a bit below him that we talked about previously.
Do you have any interest in the Cardinals passing game this week against the Bills?
I like Fitzgerald a lot. I mean, they're using him like their goal line back. He's got 6 targets in the red zone through 2 games, leads the NFL, converted 3 of those into touchdowns. Like, they're not even pretending to want to hand David Johnson the ball at the 1 yard line.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Love Fitzgerald. He's the guy, I think.
Of the guys sub $4,000, I'm looking at like Kevin White. I actually don't mind. I know the low output probably projected for the Bears offense in terms of plays, but if they're going to shut down a wide receiver one and probably have to be passing in that game, Kevin White actually looked okay Monday night. It looks like he's back to full health, so I don't mind him. Aguilar at 3,500. Curley underneath in that game against the Seahawks. We've seen some of these shorter A-dot players and possession guys kind of rack up a lot of catches. He's only $3,400. Cole Beasley, who I played in cash last week at $3,200, is still only $3,200. Again, I think if he can just get 5 for 50, he's returned value in a cash game, and that shouldn't be overlooked. Marquise Lee is one, and I'm looking for Josh Doctson on this list, and I can't find him. I think Josh Doctson has a big week this week. Can you guys pull up?
Crowder, man.
No, man.
Crowder is the boy there.
Listen, Crowder's getting all the red zone targets until we started seeing Josh Doctson play more snaps last week. And then he got 3 of his 5 targets in the red zone. If his playbook expands and he can get on the field, I think he has a chance for like 8 to 10 targets in this game and no one's going to own him.
Yeah, I like the Doctson call. I mean, Beasley's a guy for me in this range that I want to go to, at least in cash games. I don't know if he has the tournament upside, but on the field, basically every snap, you know, the Chicago Bears secondary lost a couple linebackers. They're going to be even worse over the middle. And Beasley just looks like the safety valve for Dak Prescott. I don't think we're going to see those targets dry up for Beasley anytime soon. And, you know, he's performing well for the Cowboys. So he's the guy that I feel most secure about down in this kind of below 4K range.
Doctson is $3,000. He's the wide receiver minimum. I'm going to take some shots in tournaments like I took shots on Ted Ginn last week, Davis. It almost worked out.
You were a step away. You were a step away from it working out. I feel for you.
It sucked, man. I had so much money on that game because the spread ended up dropping to like -11.5 Sunday morning. I was like, ooh, I felt good about this at 13.5. So I'm just going to pound it at 11.5. Fortunately, that worked out. But Ted Ginn did me no favors. The touchdown didn't count. He fumbled a kickoff on the 1 yard line. Like, that game had me freaking out. Like, what do we make of the Panthers offense this week? Is there any part of that passing game that you want against Minnesota?
I mean, the answer should be yes, because Cam is so great, but I have such a hard time taking any of them.
Pete, is there any other sleeper you see down here that you would take a shot on in tournaments?
I'm not seeing a lot. I mean, we've talked about the guys. It's Doctson, I like that call. I think, you know, Redskins are going to want to get their first-round pick more involved as they go forward, especially as they're struggling right now. So I think he's, you know, a deep sleeper, as you mentioned. Beasley, I mentioned before. But not a ton down here. Terrell Pryor has seen a ton of targets and a ton of deep targets, hasn't been able to convert them. If Josh McCown was still going, I would take another shot on him, but probably not doing it with Kessler entering the lineup.
Davis, last two guys, if you're looking for big play potential, Sammy Coates is $3,800 against the Eagles, and then Kenny Britt is $3,900. I know Austin is up around like 30% market share for the Rams right now.
Oh, it's Kenny Britt week, man.
Is it Kenny Britt week? Is this a guy that we want to take a shot on?
Oh, it's Kenny Britt week. Yeah. Like, I don't know, man. 16 targets through 2 games. And, I mean, at some point, the coaching staff has to go. I mean, we're giving 13 looks a game towards a guy who can't gain 4 yards effectively. Like, at some point, they have to just assume that Austin is a sunk cost. Although this is Jeff Fisher, so it might not happen until, like, next year.
That's a big assumption for Jeff Fisher, Davis. I think you got
a very big one.
Let's switch to tight ends. At the top, Jordan Reed is sitting there. He's 6,500, followed by Olsen and Walker and Kelsey. Julius Thomas is 46. So is Antonio Gates. Tyler Eifert's 45. Jason Witten, 43. Burnkowski, no longer with Josh McCown, is still $4,000. Then you get into, like, Ertz, who may or may not play. Dwayne Allen at $3,800, who, Davis, you've already kind of talked up. Ebron at 37. Jesse James at 35. Pitta at 34, and Kyle Rudolph at 31 looking like the values to me, at least in cash games. Like, do you feel comfortable rolling Pitta out in cash?
Pitta, James, or Dwayne Allen, I think, are your cash game choices for tight end this week. And I think I'm probably narrowing my tournament exposure down to those guys plus Trey Burton.
Really? You're on the Trey Burton train?
I'm not really, but some guys who I talk about daily fantasy with, like, are trying to get me on him, and he's 2,500. And if Ertz doesn't play, they don't really have a pass catching tight end. Wentz looks pretty good. He had 7 targets last week, only ran 24 passing routes. But yeah, I think for the dead men, he's kind of like Virgil Green last week.
Oh, lonely Virgil. You got to watch out for lonely Virgil. Pete, are you thinking the same thing for cash, or would you pay up?
Yeah, I like those values down there. I do think Kyle Rudolph, maybe not in this matchup, but, you know, he was kind of the number one option outside of Diggs for Sam Bradford. I do think we'll see that going forward, a good red zone target, a guy that scored almost 33% of the Vikings' red zone touchdowns last year. So I do think they'll continue to look to him for touchdowns. You know, Trey Burton, I think, pretty solid play at the Deadman. I like that call. He looked good in week 2. And the Eagles' offense in general, I thought, looked pretty good. I know the Bears' defense sucks, but I was impressed by Wentz. I think they're going to continue to be able to move the ball.
If you're going to pay up and play tournaments, I mean, Antonio Gates has been pretty solid, although he's not getting the bulk of targets, I would have thought. Delanie Walker at $5,000, again, against the Raiders. If it's not going to Tajae Sharpe, it seems to be going to Delanie Walker. And then right below him, I mentioned the Jets' propensity for giving up big plays. Could this be the week that Travis Kelce finally gets the ball and turns one of these big gains into a touchdown?
I mean, that could just be any week. Kelce could do it against the Seahawks. He could do it against, you know, the Monstars. It doesn't. There's really no rhyme or reason to how Andy Reid chooses to use him. I will say that I think there should be some extra passing volume this week, because I think the Jets are handily a better team. I saw that the Chiefs are favored in this game, which feels like a pretty terrible line to me.
It's tough to say, just based on the way that the Jets give up big plays, and we haven't seen them I guess they went to Buffalo, but Buffalo is not as good as Kansas City. I just worry once they leave the state of, you know, New York, New Jersey area, that if they travel well this week, and Marshall's kind of banged up with the knees, Decker's kind of banged up with the shoulder, Fitzpatrick could turn into a turnover machine in a moment's notice. We know that can happen. So I think it makes sense that the Chiefs are favored at home.
Yeah, I think so too. I like the Chiefs in this matchup.
Is there any other?
I think like Fitzpatrick is like a cash viable quarterback this week.
You
guys don't understand. This Chiefs defense is egregious.
I think you're just being you're too close to the situation.
Yeah, is that? I mean, I watched Phillip Rivers and Melvin Gordon dice them up for 2 quarters in person, and they had no answers. Like, and Rivers just started sucking. That was the only reason they came back.
If we go to the very bottom of the list, and you're looking for like a tournament flyer, I know you guys like Trey Burton. What about CJ Uzama against the Broncos? The one spot where the Broncos are somewhat susceptible to giving up receptions is over the middle and to tight ends. He's been used in the red zone. Andy Dalton's looking his way. He doesn't have a big A dot, so it's an easier pass for him to complete. He's only $2,500. Is he worth a shot?
I think so, absolutely. I mean, AJ Green's going to have a tough matchup against Chris Harris. What's the other cornerback's name?
Talib.
Can't think of his.
Talib.
Yeah, Talib, obviously. So we'll see, you know, Andy Dalton look over the middle. Denver against tight ends has been, you know, a place to look for the last couple of years. And Uzuma's getting a lot of opportunity in the red zone, as you mentioned, too. So I think that's a good call and could certainly compete with Trey Burton down at the bottom of the tight end list.
If we actually just play the Thursday to Monday slate, I know we don't normally talk about that. We stick to Sunday. But Do you have any interest in Kobe Fleener on Monday night and or Jacob Tammy Monday night? Because Fleener's only $3,300, and with the targets that he's been getting going up against Atlanta, who's already given up 3 touchdowns, 2 tight ends so far, it seems like no one will want to play him in those matchups only because he's been so brutal so far. But this seems like a week where he's a good value. There seems to be upside in that matchup. Do you have any faith that he can do anything, Davis?
No. If you go look at my Twitter account, I retweeted a Vine compilation of all of Kobe Fleener's targets from the Giants game that one of the NFL.com writers tweeted out. And I mean, you just have to think that at some point Breeze is going to stop throwing to him because he's so bad. He just drops everything. He alligator arms. He gives up on routes. Like, it's amazing to me that this guy got paid.
Pete, would you go Fleener or Tammy?
Give me Tammy there. I'm with Davis on Fleener. I just don't think Breeze is going to continue to throw him the ball. Plenty of options to throw to in New Orleans, plenty of ways to attack. And, you know, Fleener's just been awful, so he's not going to make his way onto my lineups. I get the play, but I just can't go there.
Defenses, before we get to QBs and stacks, the Seahawks are at the top at 4,100, then the Panthers and Cardinals and Broncos between 38 and 35. Giants, Chiefs, Vikings, Bucks, Dolphins, Packers, and Rams are all over $3,000. If you're going to take a cash game defense, it's looking like the Dolphins are becoming the chalk up against the Browns. Again, biggest favorite going up against a quarterback that was supposed to be like a one-year project, now starting 3 weeks into the season. It just seems to be lining up that the Dolphins could have a big week here. Do you agree, or do you think you should fade them? Because I'm kind of on team take the Dolphins right now.
No, I have the Cowboys in cash right now. They suck, but they limit the number of plays that the offense against them can run, which means, you know, less chance for them to score points and generate negatives. And Hoyer is a wote and can throw at least one pick.
Yeah, but don't you, like, when you're taking the defenses, don't you want to have teams that are, you know, theoretically going to run a lot of plays so you can pile up sacks, you can pile up turnovers, and not just, you know, hopefully they score 10 points and you move on your way?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just try and save as much as possible. I just try and find the cheapest possible defense and let variance run its course.
Well, Pete, if you're going to go down that low, what about someone like the 49ers at the Seahawks if they can get pressure on Wilson?
Yeah, I mean, that Seattle offensive line just looks terrible right now. Obviously, Wilson's mobility limited somewhat. You know, still, I still would rather take the Cowboys over the 49ers. I do think it's, at least in tournaments, a decent week to pay up at defense. You know, we've seen the Minnesota offensive line looks pretty terrible. We saw Bradford get sacked a number of times against the Packers. I think the Panthers might get a ton of pressure on the Vikings, who also lost starting left tackle Matt Khalil. Not that he's any good this week. So I may be paying all the way up. You know, I know that's not something we like to do at defense very often, but I don't mind it this week.
I do think it's actually viable because most of the wide receivers you want to play are not like 8K.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if I was going to, I mean, if I don't take the Dolphins at the $3,000, I think out of those top defenses, I might lean towards the Cardinals against the Bills. Just the Bills have no skill position players that are any good outside of McCoy.
The problem with the Bills is that they don't give up any sacks and not many interceptions either. Like, Tyrod Taylor does a very good job of taking care of the ball.
Yeah. But they might just be down in that game and just be forced to be. Yeah. Tyrod Taylor doesn't throw over the middle of the field ever because he can't see over the offensive line, a problem that I'm sure Davis can relate to it. And I had, when I used to play, couldn't see over the offensive line. There was, like, guys who were 6'3 in front of me. What am I supposed to do? You got to roll out and throw to the sidelines. That's the only route that you can do, and it's happening to Tyrod Taylor right now. I actually kind of like streaming against running quarterbacks a little bit because sometimes they just – wait too long in the pocket. We see it with Russell Wilson, too, and it leads to his high sack total. Andrew Luck is kind of the same way as well, that maybe you can pile up some cheap sacks in this game if the Cardinals defense can actually, you know, shut down Marquise Goodwin and a gimped up Sammy Watkins and Robert Woods. Like, that shouldn't be that big of an issue and force him to stay back there, or at least force him out on the ground and maybe have some fumbles out of it and knock him out of the game and get, you know, EJ Manuel in the game. The last one I wanted to mention was the Ravens defense at 2,500 against the Jags. When I talk about a situation where the other team is going to be throwing the ball a lot, the Jags seem to be that kind of team, and even if they put up points, they're going to put up turnovers. And I guess we didn't talk about this in the running back session, but Davis, how do you feel about Chris Ivory this week?
I think I'm just avoiding all Jaguars players until I see, like, any sort of positive sign. They are playing in the most suboptimal way for their group of offensive skill possession players to play.
How so?
Like, they're not taking shots. The one good thing, there are a couple good things about Bortles, but the best thing about Bortles was he's willing to take risks that a lot of, you know, sort of QB factory type quarterbacks are not willing to take. He's got tremendous arm talent, and they're asking him to play like Colt McCoy right now.
Pete, is there any defense we didn't bring up that you think deserves a shout out here? Maybe the Bucs?
The Broncos would be the one that I would look at. Just such a tremendous defense. I know they're on the road in Cincinnati, but you know, I think AJ Green is going to have a tough time in this matchup. I don't think Cincinnati's going to be able to run the ball. That means Andy Dalton's going to be dropping back to pass a lot. And we know, you know, we saw the damage that Von Miller and this vaunted Denver defensive line can do. Just the highest upside defense week to week for me is the Denver Broncos. And even on the road, I don't mind going back to that well.
Let's switch to quarterbacks to finish this off. Cam Newton's at the top at 7,800, followed by Rodgers, Luck, Roethlisberger, Carson Palmer, Russell Wilson, and Eli Manning, all above $7,000. Then you're into Derek Carr, Matt Stafford, Rivers, Bortles, Cousins. It seems to me like if people are going to go with the chalk in cash games or even in tournaments at quarterback, it's going to be Phillip Rivers against the Colts. Are you for that or are you against that, Pete?
Yeah, hard to be against Phillip Rivers this week. I mean, he looks good. Like, the Colts' defense is obviously terrible. I do think Vontae Davis will be returning this week, which does lower, you know, the expectation for Rivers and the San Diego offense somewhat. But I still fully expect a shootout in Indianapolis, two offenses that are going to run a lot of plays. And, you know, San Diego's going to throw the ball. That's what they do. So I like that Rivers call, 6,700 on DraftKings. Kind of hard to pass up.
Davis, I'm kind of trying to flip-flop between what I like here. I do like Rivers and cash, but I don't know.
I like Rivers a lot.
Is that just the play, just take Rivers and cash and figure out tournaments elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, you guys guffawed at me, but I do think Fitzpatrick on the road when they should run a little bit less. People want to talk about funnel defenses. Kansas City's going to be a funnel defense against the run. They're very stout up front. Dontari Poe, one of the best nose tackles in football, but their pass defense is egregious. So I think Fitzpatrick, I mean, I'm not going to tell you it's egregious, but Rivers is the clear top play, I think.
If you could afford it, would you go with Luck at 76?
I mean, yeah, like Luck at home. I think missing out on Moncrief is like pretty big, though, for his efficiency.
Maybe so, but I mean, Andrew Luck's not the most efficient guy to begin with.
I mean, I don't. Would it even be a hot take, Pete, if I said that Rivers just straight up outscores Luck this week?
I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I do think Luck is just a bigger part of the offense than Rivers is. He also has, you know, much more upside running the ball, running in for touchdowns. You know, I don't mind paying up another $800. Like, that's not a huge amount in the grand scheme of things for Andrew Luck over Phillip Rivers. Another guy I like, Marcus Mariota, 5,900 at home against Oakland. We talked about how their defense has just been shredded 2 weeks in a row. Mariota seems to get it done week after week, even though this year so far he hasn't really rushed the ball much. But I think that could be coming. And, you know, maybe as soon as against the Raiders. What do you guys think about Marcus Mariota?
I like Mariota, and I kind of like him because the perception around his week two performance is that it was really bad and a lot of people took him, and there was, you know, with Cam Newton scoring all the points at the top, that
right.
I think in tournament play that he's going to go under-owned. The guy that I like there, I mean, I mentioned I like Alex Smith as sort of a, you know, a low exposure flyer because no one's going to own him, but Joe Flacco on the road against the Jags, like, that defense isn't scaring anyone, and it doesn't look like the Ravens can run the ball at all.
Yeah, I got no problem with that. I just generally don't roster Ravens, though.
No, I mean, naked Flacco worked last week. Could work this week.
You and everyone else. Nobody rosters Ravens.
Public service announcement. Steve Smith is toast. He is donezo. Don't roster him.
What are you talking
Pitta,
about?
Though.
He had three catches Pitta, for 61 yards last week. He's fine. Don't worry about Steve Smith.
Yeah, that's the classic Steve Smith line. 7 targets for 61 yards and, like, one play where he, like, you know, yells at some defender. Oh, he's the woat. It's just the worst.
Love Steve Smith. I can't believe you're not on the Steve Smith train at all.
He's such a Pat Mayo player.
Yeah,
he Davis, really... you're still upset at him over that one with that narrative street week when he caught that tip pass for a touchdown.
Yeah, I am. I'm still mad. I'm still mad online about the tipped pass one off the helmet against the Panthers.
If you were going to go down to the bottom, we talked about Oakland's pass defense not being great. The second most yards allowed by any team this year through the air is the Pittsburgh Steelers. And in a game script where Carson Wentz could be throwing a lot and maybe be forced to run a little bit, it could lead to turnover city. But he's only $5,500, and he's looked pretty fucking good so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a passionate take about that.
No, you have no passionate Wentz take?
No, like, I mean, he's looked good. I can't imagine rostering him in cash. I think he's, like, he's kind of fun for tournaments because you could see this game turning into, like, one of those, like, the Steelers' defense is awful and it's 35-28 and Wentz throws, you know, the rookie interception on the last drive in the fourth quarter. But, like, I'm not targeting him this week. Like, something I would like to see from him a little bit more would be him running, because he did that a lot at North Dakota State, and they haven't really designed anything for him to run yet, and he's played well, but it has not turned into fantasy points yet.
Pete, any love for
dude points? Is taking a lot of hits.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, little worrisome though.
Yeah, any love for Palmer at 72?
I don't hate it. I mean, you know, I think he's looked pretty good. I know people are talking about his decline, but I don't really see it that way. I think he's going to continue to perform well. This Buffalo defense, total mess, in my opinion. I do think even on the road, we'll see Arizona perform well. It's just, I don't know if I want to pay up, you know, all the way near the top tier for quarterback. I think probably lean Andrew Luck if I'm going to pay that high of a price tag.
Sticking with Luck, Davis, you mentioned the Colts stack. Is that your favorite stack of the week? Is there something else we should be looking at? Because I think I'm going to do a few Colts stacks. I'm going to do my contrarian Seahawks stack with Russell Wilson and those guys. Besides the Colts, is there anyone else that you can see that you want to load up on? Maybe San Diego?
Yeah, but I mean, those are all pretty sort of obvious spots. I think the one you'll get coming in at under 10%, Carr, Cooper, Walford. Like, that's going to be a super unique combination in these really, like, large field tournaments. And Cooper is, like, one of my highest projected wide receivers this week. Titans don't have really anyone good that can hang with Cooper. And Walford has 12 targets through two games and is playing, like, every snap.
Pete, would you do that Raiders stack, or would you do a Mariota, Sharp, Delanie Walker stack?
I like both those. One that I'm looking at this week, going back to the Giants, you know, Eli Manning, a tremendously popular play last week, didn't work out, didn't get in the end zone despite throwing for 368 yards against the Saints, but in a home matchup against the Redskins defense, which doesn't look any better, you know, than the terrible pass defenses we've seen. I think Eli's going to have a big game here. And I think people are going to be kind of gun shy going back to him. So I like Eli Manning and, you know, maybe pair him up with a non Odell Beckham receiver. Sterling Shepard has looked good. And I think we'll see Josh Norman, on, you know, Odell Beckham quite a bit. So Eli Manning to Shepard is one of my favorite stacks this week.
All right. It's going to do it on the Pat.
I like it.
Oh, Pete, are you ready to win $1 million this week or what?
I am totally ready for that. Yes.
Last stack I want to talk about. What about a Lions stack with Stafford against the Packers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
Like I feel like we didn't really talk about any Lions at all, and especially Stafford. He's probably the key piece to all of this.
I mean, you guys gave Golden Tate some love.
Yeah, I suppose so, but it doesn't seem like there's really like, oh, play Phillip Rivers, play Andrew Luck. I mean, Stafford's kind of on their level and just passing the ball a lot.
Yeah, they're going to throw the ball, and we know where it's going, so I like that call.
Yeah, so I've got stuff to figure out. Check out the updated cheat sheet as the week goes along. If there's more injuries to come out, of course, that will be updated. Cash plays, tournament plays, you can find up on rotoexperts.com and sportsgrid.com. Davis, Pete, thank you for being on the line. Davis, where can we find all of your work?
Just go to fantasyinsiders.com. All my stuff is right there.
Pete, tell us a little bit about FanVice, because I think right after I finish this, I'm going to be jumping on for a live chat.
Absolutely. FanVice.com, fantasy advice with an edge. And, you know, if you want, you can even see me jump off a boat.
Jump off a boat? Wow.
It's my favorite GIF of all time.
Did you have to get paid to do it? Like, why are you jumping off a boat?
Yeah, they're paying me a little bit, yeah, but not for that act in particular.
Oh, see, you need to get like a Screen Actors Guild card and make sure that your acting performances at least get you some sort of pension as you get older.
If I got royalties for every time that GIF is posted on Twitter, I'd be
rich. Yeah, you'd be super rich.
Well, who would be richer? Would it be you jumping off the boat or Davis doing the wearing the headset? And, what's that called?
Oh, it's it's the Gnaw Wave. I mean, that's the best GIF. That's actually the best GIF ever.
If we got royalties for those, neither of us would even need to win the Millie Maker this week.
No, we wouldn't need to be doing any of this.
Yeah. Well, I'll just leave the $1 million.
I can just play FIFA all day.
You just leave the $1 million for me. I can use the $1 million. I'm not going to lie to you.
One of us will get it this week.
Perfect. And if it's not going to be one of us, hopefully it's one of you out there watching the show. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow Davis on Twitter at DavisMatic and Pete at DraftCheat. You can follow me at the PME. And remember, subscribe to the Pat Mayo Hour on YouTube and iTunes and Stitcher and Podomatic, anywhere where multimedia lives. You can find the Pat Mayo Hour. I guarantee it. I'm Pat Mayo. I'll see you next time.